Today on the show, we break down and review episode 2 of the live-action Fallout TV show. Buckle up, everybody. We're headed back into the wasteland.
Welcome to Fallout Fans, a limited series podcast where we discuss all things Fallout, including and especially the live-action Fallout TV series. Watch all 8 episodes of the first season of Fallout available exclusively on Amazon Prime Video, and then come back here and join us as we break down and review each episode. Fallout Fans is brought to you by Megadads. Find us at megadads.org or Megadads on YouTube. Please consider subscribing if you like what you hear, like what you see. We've taken great care to create an interesting video version of the show for you. The audio-only version of the show is available wherever you get your podcast by searching for Megadads. And the video version, again, can be found on YouTube. We use a special methodology to help us break down and review episodes. We'll talk about the best moments of the episode, the visuals and audio, discuss how the show stands up to diehard fan scrutiny, talk about what we hated, and cap things off with a 5-star review. This is your spoiler warning. Watch the show first, then come back here and join us. Leave a comment and let us know what you think. Feel free to leave your 5-star rating of the show, of the episode, in the comments section. Once again, I'm joined by podcast veteran, Fallout fan, and my BFF, Clay Howard. How are you, sir?
Yo, doing good. Happy to be here. Let's do this.
I had a smile on my face during this episode many times. The first one got a smile, I think like once or twice, but I was smiling ear to ear during this episode. I'm so excited to talk about it. Before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about ourselves, a little bit about our credentials, a little bit about why you should care about what we say. Now, I wanted to talk, you had a great idea about talking about Prime Video. There's a video service war going on, right? You have different subs that you can keep, or you're, you know, paying to get content that some have very exclusive shows, and Prime is no different. So we want to talk about our experience with Prime Video. I need to say right off the bat that Amazon Prime, even if it wasn't, Prime Video is included if you get like Amazon Prime shipping subscription. So it's like an added benefit when you sign up for Prime. Now, I would do Prime Video if it wasn't for that, like if it had to be paid for separately. It is one of my go-to and most watched services, way more than like, you know, Hulu or Netflix. Prime Video has some quality stuff out there, and I will give you 2 recommendations. One has to be The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. This is a show that's set, I believe, in the 60s, and it's about a female comedian who's trying to make it and follows her and her eccentric family and just all the interesting things that go along with her life, especially when she does like her actual comedic sets. So it talks about like her life around it, but she actually does like comedy, so you're like watching little real funny ass comedic sets in there as well. And then the other one is going to be The Man in the High Castle, which is there's a book series, I believe, about it, which is where it stems from, but the TV show adaptation came to Prime Video as an exclusive, and they created this whole alternate history where the when the Cold War when the wars go down, it's actually China and the Nazis and stuff that team up and win, and the United States is like invaded and taken over and becomes like a territory of theirs. And it's what if we lost, and what if the Nazis were still like up and kicking, and like how would things have gone down, and this whole underground resistance fight against them. So I love Prime. I love Prime Video, Amazon Prime Video. What do you think, Clay? What is your experience?
Yeah, I mean, we've had it for a long time, and me and my wife have always enjoyed watching stuff on there. We've had a lot of great experiences. Not many that we were like, wow, that really wasn't for us. We've watched Reacher. We've watched Invincible, The Boys.
Man, Invincible.
All of those are just really good. I personally really liked The Rings of Power, the Lord of the Rings TV show that came out last year. Loved that show and could not get enough of it. I thought that people on the internet will disagree with me, but I was a huge fan of it. And so once I saw that Prime was doing Fallout, I felt pretty good about it. Outside of The Rings of Power, they're not notorious for throwing tons of money at their shows. I think Rings of Power is like one of the highest budgets for a TV show ever. I'm glad Prime ended up with it, and I think they did a good job. And so far, they don't cancel shows as much like Netflix does, where they just like get rid of stuff for no reason. So that also makes me hopeful that it'll have a good, healthy life to it. So,
yeah, absolutely. Just, I have to say, the Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, was really good. And every criticism that I saw of it were like, seemed like overreactions, like, you know, back up what you're saying if you're not going to like something. And I never saw anyone who really trashed it that really made sense when they were trying to explain why they didn't like it. But yeah, to each their own. But I was a big fan along with you. One more that I think can't get enough recognition is Mr. Robot. Did you ever watch that? It's about a hacker. It's played by, his name escapes me. He played the lead singer, Freddie Mercury and Queen in the Queen biopic. What's his name?
Was it Malik?
Yes,
Rami Malik.
Exactly, yeah. So he's an excellent actor and he plays a hacker and he gives a great performance and he has like a team of people with him that just try to... It's so odd to talk about that show and like what it's about, but Mr. Robot can't be highly talked about enough. And then the last one is The Expanse. It's again based on a book series, and it's about the far future and how humanity goes out and colonizes Mars and the area of like this asteroid belt that holds a lot of resources and people who just perpetually live in space, and they form their own like cultures and diplomatic ties, and they have like large wars and small conflicts, and then they introduce like aliens and stuff like that. It's really good. The Expanse, if you're into sci-fi. Good stuff. And now they have Fallout to hang their hat on as well, which is it's going. I mean, there's nothing but positive word of mouth that I'm seeing, which is surprising. One of our segments that we talk about is like trying to find like some criticisms and things like that, but the show itself and fan reaction itself seems to be really, really high. So let's get into it. Again, we use the special system to break down and review our episodes, and we start with strength. We want to talk about the best scene or moment of episode 2, and I'll kick this one off with something very unconventional. I don't think most people would have picked up on this or agree, but in the show, we have Lucy scouring the wasteland, and she's kind of getting acclimated with the huge, open, desolate world and the destruction around her. And she goes and explores this like beach, sandy kind of area, and there's homes there. And she walks into one of the homes, and she sees a family that's perished. And then there's like it's implied that this family had taken this cyanide like to end their life like in a peaceful way when things were just going to shit. And you see a family complete with like kids and a baby and like a high chair, and it's just creepy. The house looks just like a house that you would see from the games, with like just the tattered everything and the state of things and how it's just damaged. And I was blown away, and this gets the strongest scene for me, because it takes this idea of, in Fallout games, there's environmental storytelling, and they could have just glossed over this fact that it's a big thing in the games, but they didn't, and they said, okay, let's use that and have a moment like that in the show where it's just like a slower, somber, like, people suffer, this is a bad situation, and let's tug at the heartstrings a little bit and just how grim this whole like world is. And I think it kicks things off in a real strong way, and it sets the tone and just pulls that out and talks about environmental storytelling. Let's include that in the show. And I was like, whoa, they did it. And it's toward the beginning of the episode, so I think it kicks it off in a strong way. How about you, Clay? Any thoughts about that, or what's your best?
Yeah, dude, I mean, that's a great choice. It's definitely a powerful moment, and it's interesting because we are seeing this from the perspective of somebody who's been stuck in a vault their whole life. And so they come up to the earth, and one of the first things they see is this family that killed themselves. And not only that, it was the pills were provided by Vault Tech. That's the Vault Tech Plan D, when you have no other choice. They made them banana flavored. It's interesting because it gets a call back at the end of the episode. But back to my original point, this is a vault dweller who's never been on Earth. If this was a scavenger or someone who's lived on the top of Earth the whole time, they would have walked right through there, scavenged, looked for goods, and walked right out and not paid any attention to the dead people there. But we, the viewer, get to see this from the perspective of a vault dweller who isn't used to seeing these things. And so she stops and takes the time to be sad and look at this horrific thing and to think about what must have gone through these people's minds. And so it allows us, the viewer, to be right alongside this main character who's just horrified by these things. And so it allows it to slow down, like you said. And I think that's a big part about this show, not to get too deep into it, that isn't necessarily something that they hit on a whole lot in the video games. All of a sudden, we come up to the Earth and we're ready to just start killing people and like, let's get into it, let's be nasty. But it's like, in this show, it's all about this character who has lived an innocent, happy life and all of a sudden is thrown into this awful scenario. And so we're seeing this person for the first time try to navigate these things. And it's not really something that the main character in the Fallout games really, they don't really play on it a whole lot. The innocence or the confusion. There's a following scene where is it a Lucy? Is that her name?
Lucy, yeah, the vault dweller, yeah.
Lucy goes and talks to this random dude out in the desert. And she just literally hands him her water. And is like, here's some water. And he drinks it all. And it's just like, she's so naive. She doesn't know any better. And it's like, it was never like that in the video games. As soon as you came up, you're like, I know better. I'm not going to trust anybody, and I'm just going to start shooting people. But we actually get to see this innocent person who's a good person try to navigate this. And so it just brings a really unique perspective, which I think is really cool.
On that point, Lucy, one of the first things she sees is a tumbleweed in front of her, and she's freaked out by it. She's like, what's that? And just like kind of steps back. And we're over here like, what? Because it's not only does she not see the destruction, like she's completely separated from so much of what's normal, and that's like a normal thing that she would see, but she hasn't experienced. And then right next to it is like, then she sees like this like robot, which we know later could have, you know, different purposes, but it could have been, you know, like one of the murder robots. And she sees that and she's like, huh, and she looks at that as well. But like, it was so weird how they keep going back. They will not let it go. They don't take it for granted that you're right, that she's doe-eyed. She's like, oh, wow. Like, look at that. Like, she's communicating with people like, I am going to have a conversation with you and I am going to explain to you my motivations. And like, she does that later and it's just wild. And I think it's so interesting to watch. It makes it very interesting. What's your strongest scene, would you say, of the episode?
Oh. Yeah, we don't have to talk too much about this, but I think the shootout toward the end with the ghoul, that whole action sequence was the standout for me. I thought that was really great, really well done, and enjoyable to watch. I also had a laugh out loud moment in this episode when the Brotherhood of Steel guy runs out of the cave saying the F word over and over while being chased by that bear. Dude, I don't know what it was. It was something about that the big guy in armor with the deep, low voice with the pitch, you know, on it, or it pitched it down. And he's just saying the F word over and over and just running away and getting chased by the bear. I don't know why. Both times I watched it, it just made me laugh. I did not expect them to do that.
Yeah.
And obviously Maximus didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, what is going on? And it's just like, I don't know. It just made me laugh. I thought it was great. So that was another favorite moment of mine from this episode.
Yeah, they inject the humor in there just enough, I think, in that show. And that in the show. And I think that is good. So the like shootout thing between like the ghoul and everybody, and then the power armor gets involved, and that whole scene is a big part of the episode. And I think it was well done. I have some other thoughts about it, but let's move on. Perception: interesting or standout visuals or sound effects in the show in episode 2. Why don't you take this one first? What did you think stood out to you visually?
I mean, I feel bad. I keep doing this. Once again, I think the standout visuals was the shootout, which was my favorite scene. But just a lot of really cool things. I don't know what guns and what bullets he was using in that. That, like, are those in the games? I don't remember those being in the games.
There's gigantic holes in everyone.
Right. And they have, like, different colors and they do different things. It was just like, it was a little different, but just really good cinematography throughout.
Yes.
He literally would shoot a hole in a person and it would, like, the camera would shoot right through the hole and you could see through it, and a lot of cool slow motion shots. And I just thought it was just done really well. Great visuals. And I thought there was one point where he shot through somebody and then it blew off the head of the person behind him.
Oh my God,
yeah. And it was just like, whoa! And just, I don't know. Guys love that stuff.
It was wild.
I just thought it was awesome.
It was wild. I can only assume that it's like, because there are different like special weapons and more heavy stuff that I don't typically use in the games very often. I come around them. But I don't think it's like canon that it's like that big of a gun. It was kind of it's a pistol that the ghoul is wielding, but the ammo is special or something, where it's just really huge holes and everything. He's got the what's that bloody perk or whatever from that game, like definitely unlock that perk where it everyone's a bloody mess, so they go that way with it. But I agree, it was a standout scene. So the bear, or it's called a yogwai, I don't know how to pronounce it, but the irradiated, mutated bear that they come across, that was my runner-up for most interesting visuals, because you have one of the standout things from the games is, you know, the wildlife and how they look. You know, we see a two-headed cow later on in the city, and this bear thing looked decent. I think it looked better than I expected. Again, it just had this tinge of like fake to it, and the weight was a little off. They had a really good moment where the bear is like swiping at the power armor after he's already kind of down, and the power armor like flips with a very heavy like floop, like weight, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, they really emphasize that it's like a strong thing flipping a heavy thing, and the heavy thing is like metal, and I thought that was really well done. So it looked decent. That's my runner-up. Looked better than I thought. And then the top visual standout moment was just the city. In Fallout, the areas you go to, the places of commerce, like, you know, it's all laid out in a very, like, this is just all, like, held together by spit and gum or whatever. It's scrap. It's just how things would have happened if people had nothing. They're trying to scrape together a little, like a little mini town. I think it was called Philly. So it looked straight out of the game, and I was so happy. I was like, this looks great. This set, whoever had the care, a design to make that set, made it functional, you know, for the fight and everything that was going to go on. And it was true to the game. And that was, that did a lot for me, honestly. I was like, wow, this is cool. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, my wife pointed out the same thing. She's like, how cool is this? Like, when you see all the, like, destroyed, what were they? like spaceships, like astronaut ships that we would,
yeah,
you
the
know,
shuttles and stuff, like just
the shuttle, yeah, space shuttles stacked up. My wife goes, "Man, what a cool job to be able to like make up the set design for this show." And I was like, "Yeah," I was like, "That I agree." And so we both noted that they just did a really good job with it. So I was impressed. It was very cool.
Endurance. Can the Fallout TV show stand up to hard-to-please fans and fanatics? I went on Reddit and I checked out episode 2 reviews and thoughts, and I was really trying to get into what people were into, what people thought. Here was one of the things that stood out to me as far as fan reaction. It's around, and this may kind of ruin a little bit of like one of the other topics that we get into, which is our lows of the episode. But this is one of the top comments that were upvoted. How did that minigun not light that guy and his dog the fuck up? And then the comment under it says, things like these really make me wonder how these shows get made. Is there really no one in the production team to say, hey boss, this scene doesn't make sense. Maybe we should explain to the viewer why this minigun is missing so much. Or maybe just fuck it, it looks cool, let's do it. Like, what are they thinking? Man, this kind of stuff had me quit watching so many shows. And I think the scrutiny is there, but in that scene, it was deserved. And a lot of people, I didn't even think about this scene, honestly, in the moment, I was like, yeah, this isn't good, but it didn't stick with me. But a lot of people were apparently pissed at just kind of that nonsense there. And I have to agree with them. It was a low of the show, but that's what the fans were thinking. Overall, again, show-wise, people love it, but they were scrutinizing some of the visual slash... It's not even a visual thing. It's kind of like a this-is-happening-why thing. So what are your thoughts on that, Clay?
I mean, I it didn't ruin it for me. It was just... I thought it was cool that the auto turret showed up. Obviously, yeah. We know those from the game, and so it was a nice little reference. Did it need to be 5 feet away from the dude or 10 feet away from the dude with no cover in between them?
Like, yeah, right.
They could have given him something to kind of hide behind.
Right.
I guess, me personally, I was more concerned about the dog's well-being at that point than anything, and so was just concerned about the dog. But, yeah, I mean, in these kinds of shows, you have to put your disbelief aside to a degree, but that one seemed a little unnecessary. A simple wall or something to hide behind could have at least made it a little more believable, but whatever.
To your point, yeah, let's fix it by having him run like hell instead of like slowly walk. By the way, he was hardly trotting. So how about we start with he sees it and he's like, go, and he just sprints. And then as the thing's locking on, it's only really shooting like right near him toward the end of the run. Now our problem solved, right? It's like catching up to him and shooting.
Right.
Now we're in believable territory, but I do see this a lot, you know, to the criticism of the bullets are like missing right around, you know, exactly around where you're standing, and it just didn't make any sense. And at first I was like, okay, well this guy's super important, which is why he's not injured at all. And we see shortly after, we'll talk about that it was not the case. They didn't care about injuring this guy at all. But that's kind of some of the fan reaction to the episode. Charisma, standout acting or performances in the show. I talked about how I was afraid that Walter Goggins wasn't going to be able to emote and really express himself with the prosthetics or whatever they have him in his like ghoul look. And I think I came away very satisfied with what he was able to achieve in the shootout scene, what he says, his delivery and mannerisms. He was funny, he was likable, he was badass. And I think he did a great job doing that through the ghoul like look. So I gotta give it to him. What do you think? Any standout acting for you?
Yeah. For me, it was Michael Emerson, who plays the Doctor in this episode. In the first episode,
He never says his name. I don't believe. I think we may be told later, but officially it's Dr. Wilzig.
The shopkeeper later.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, you're talking about first name. Okay. Yeah, I'm bummed that he's not going to be in more of this. I was excited when they announced he was going to be in it. Yeah. Loved him and Lost. Yeah. And love so... him, yeah. He doesn't have a lot of lines, but I think the few that he does have in these two episodes, I think he delivers them really well. Mm-hmm. I think he also just, even the scenes where he's not really saying a whole lot and he's just physically acting, I thought he did a really good job. And so I was bummed to see the fate of his character at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. But I appreciated that they didn't get some no-name actor for a two-episode, you know, role. I appreciate that they picked a good actor that I think played it really well. So I got to give it up to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, he did great. Did you mention the shopkeeper, I think you said right now? Because that was my runner-up. The shopkeeper sold her role, I thought.
Yeah, she did good, too.
Yeah, it's like, I am a grizzled, like, survivor up here. You know, I'm dirty, I'm jaded, and, you know, I'm all about the business and just get out of my face. And I thought it was good. I thought it was odd and interesting, the guy that she approaches in the wasteland randomly, who's just trying to survive alone in this rinky-dink house. And she's like asking for directions and he's just kind of like clueless and, you know, like sad and pathetic. I think he did his role. I thought it was interesting, but he also stood out to me for some reason. I thought it was an interesting take on who she should interact with first on the surface and in the wasteland.
Right. So,
very weird.
Yeah, I didn't much care for that scene, and I was like, I didn't understand the purpose of it. And yeah, so,
same. I was like, is when this I watched totally it, needed? Yeah.
Right. When I watched it a second time, I think the whole purpose of it is just to show how naive Lucy is, mm-hmm. or whatever her name is, mm-hmm. and it's more of that. But his character and what the guy was doing just didn't really have anything to it. Like, I kept waiting for, like, he was trying to get her to, like, stay with him. I kept waiting until the end where it would, like, the camera would, like, pan over and he would have, like, a bunch of dead bodies, like, behind the front door or something. But he didn't. He was just an idiot who was trying to put sand in a water purifier and didn't have any pants on. And it was just kind of it. It was, like, a real innocent moment. He drinks her water and then she, like, takes off. And it's just, I don't know. It wasn't a strong scene, in my opinion.
There's a scene in the Book of Eli, which is about, you know, wasteland wanderer, post-apocalypse. And he interacts with this elderly couple and they seem innocent enough. And it turns out that they're cannibals. Spoiler alert for Book of Eli. But I got that vibe immediately. I'm like, this is going to be one of those. And just knowing the game and the universe, I'm like, this is going to go dark at some point. And it really didn't. They kind of used it as like a funny moment, like where he's walking away, he's like, "Oh, okay," and he's like, "You can live here with me and stay with me." I thought it was funny, but I don't know why. I mean, that was one of the acting moments that'll just stick with me for one weird reason or another. Intelligence, the dumbest or worst moment of the episode, in your opinion, Clay? Why don't you take this one? What didn't you like? What was a low for you?
This episode had a few more of those. Two of them kind of happen around the same time. Maximus shows up flying in his power armor, and he runs over and saves the girl from being shot by the ghoul. And then he grabs her, and they fly through the building into the building. And as soon as they land, his little face mask comes up, and he just, like, smiles at her. And she's like, "Oh, hi." And then he just smiles at her and just like an idiot. And dude, that whole thing is just so cringy.
Oh, you don't like just, it? Oh my god!
I thought it was so dumb. Like I liked that she was like awestruck by him, right, and by his armor and everything. Like, that was fine. But that whole part of him like lifting his mask up and saying hi to her and then just like kind of smiling at her and not really saying anything, it's just so dumb. And then also to piggyback off that, after the fight's over, he tries to fly away in his suit, and Walton Goggins, the ghoul, throws a hook on him from a tow truck, yep. And it like, and then he like fly, like it like slingshots him off, like Darth Vader style off, and he goes flying away. It's just really bad, not cool, really dumb. Did not like that. Just all of that kind of felt clunky and weird. Last thing, I also thought that the robot foot that they gave the doctor seemed really out of place and weird and just didn't look like Fallout. Felt stupid. It was dumb. Just let the guy limp around with a bandaged foot for another 20 minutes before he dies, and let's pretend that there's no robo foot thing.
Yeah. It was gruesome when they put that foot on, because as you see like them trying to put it on, it doesn't just clip on, it's like designed to like eat in with gears to like dig into the limb, which
right.
was like,
which is interesting,
it's
kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean,
but it looked like a bad sci-fi movie foot. It like didn't look like a yes. Fallout foot. I don't know.
Well, bad sci-fi is Fallout, like with the look of certain things. So I think in that way it did kind of work, but I agree with you 100%. The worst part of this whole episode was when they got goofy with the fight, because it looks cool, like there's like a gunfight, power armor versus ghoul. I wasn't completely sold that the ghoul would stand up to the power armor for any more than a few seconds, just the way that they had been showing how powerful the power armor was. But okay, he's inexperienced, he doesn't know how to pilot the thing. I kind of get it. Looks good, except when he starts flying and flies through the air. There's a particular shot where she's looking up with the guy who's already like limping. And she looks up, and this particular moment, she smiles in the air at him because he's flying by and he's flailing in the air. And it looks dog shit. It looks terrible. And it's like, and they did it to be funny, I guess, but like you said, the same thing with the roping with the tow truck thing. Somebody was like, oh, let's have them like do that. Like, who greenlit that idea? You were fine. Everything was working. And then you just kind of like, it just was not the way to go. So leave that on the cutting room floor, please. It was not good. The runner up then for worst moment is the bear, the yogwai versus the power armor did not, it was funny when he's running away from it, but that did not go down the way it would have gone down, like in the game or even the way you're seeing it. Like, okay, establish rules, here's what's going on. It didn't look as good as it should have when they're fighting, and the punches and like him trying to like go after, you know, the bear. He's trying to shoot it at first, and then like the bear gets the upper hand, and it just didn't look right. So it was a little off for me, and I would say that was one of the more poorer moments. But yeah, that's what earns the low moment award for me this time around. Agility. Let's run through the quick story beats, the arcs of the episode. This one was, it had one of the most amazing, and I should have brought this up when we talked about the perception segment, but the show begins with the scientists in the Enclave and raising, I assume is dog meat or like a dog, let's just say that is dog meat ass.
Right.
And he takes pity on it, and they're incinerating the underweight dogs, which is super sad.
Yeah.
I caught it in my second watch through, and I was like, my lord, it just tore at my heart. And he is in a predicament where he's really trying to care for this animal. Simultaneously, he has some type of secret experiment going on where he implants a little glowing tic-tac into his neck, for reasons unknown, which I thought they'd give us a little bit more about that. But this whole scene worked really well. They kind of established that the Enclave is in this, like, kind of looks like a warehouse or apartment type complex that you would see in the old Soviet Union. But it's scientist stuff, and it's an interesting thing. Did you love the scene with the dogs where they're all in unison obeying the scientists as they're training them? Because I figured you would like that one.
Yeah, me and my wife are both really big dog lovers. So it was like, she was very excited that the dog stuff was coming. But then literally seconds in, it's like, throw that baby dog into the incinerator. And it was just like, my wife was immediately like, are you freaking kidding me? And I'm like, just hold on, like, it gets better. And then it showed a bunch of puppy shots, and she loved that. And we were eating it all up. It was a good scene. It was an interesting, like, clearly these are some bad people burning puppies, but this guy's obviously saving the puppy, and so it was enjoyable, and we were glad that the dog got away. So
the highlight of everything, I think, carried everything so well, was the music. And from the get, in so many key scenes, we have music tracks that are like from the game, direct from the games, and they do so well of setting the tone. In the first episode, you had this old-timey alternate history, like 1950s, like whatever, like music. And in episode two, they have the same style, but these are much more recognizable from the actual games. I don't know if you noticed that, but the songs were just hitting. I was like, they used the song. So many times they did this throughout the episode, and it kicks it off right away with a song from the games and does it a few more times. What'd you think of the music in this? Let's talk.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed that we didn't talk about it at all in episode one, but I'm so happy with what they're doing with it. I'm so glad they didn't like try to go a different route with it. I hope that they do branch out a little bit from the music that they use in the games, but at the same time, I love it. I think it's super great. I appreciate what they're doing with it. And I love that kind of music to begin with, old crooner music and jazz music. I love that stuff. And so it gave me goosebumps episode one when it started off. It was just like, this is perfect. It's literally, it makes it fall out for me. And so I'm so happy with what they're doing. I loved the, they were doing some songs with the Brotherhood of Steel where they were doing, why can't I think of his name? The country artist, Ring of Fire guy. Gosh, why can't I think of his name?
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, sorry, people. I know Johnny Cash, I promise. A lot of Johnny Cash songs during the military scenes and stuff, and it was just like, it just fit really well. I was like, yeah, this is great. I love it.
Yeah, no, you're right. It fits where they used it, too. The good doctor gets found out, and the alarm goes off, and he's a push down, barely, which I don't think he was in threatening his life, but the good pup comes in and tears his ass up, murders him real quick, and they just make their escape, narrowly getting shot by a automated turret, and then we move on. End scene. Lucy is in the wasteland and is starting to get introduced to the horrors of what she's been missing out on the surface, and is basically surprised at everything she sees. She camps and sees the good doctor in the middle of the night. Dog meat, or the dog, let's say, saves Lucy from a rad roach. And the doctor does some exposition explaining how the roaches have evolved, and you will evolve too, and maybe into something that you're not proud of later. Are your motivations going to stay the same? This is good scene setting and just building of the world, and I think it works. A good acting, by everybody. The rad roach, it was masked by the cover of night, but it didn't look as good as I wanted it to be. But again, it's not that important. It's just a bug. And anytime the dog kills something, whether it be a human or, the little beast, like, it doesn't look the best. And I don't think it needs to. I kind of forgive it, but not the most satisfying kills. Any thoughts on that, about the little intro scene by the campfire? She survives the night, and we learned that later. So Maximus is on the vertebrate. I think that's what they call them, the alternate history version of the, like, little chopper. And he's on with his knight and trying to serve him well, and the knight's an asshole, like, not saying anything basically to him. And they go and they try to find the target, looking for the scientists, and follow in their footsteps, finding the Yogwai radiated bear. And a showdown happens, and the power armor dude, the knight, He gets injured. He takes off his helmet and trying to... Actually, Maximus does a headshot on the Yogwai after hesitating for way too long. But anyway, kills it. and the Power Armor Knight, it's Knight Titus, played by Michael Rapaport, who's hugely plays in like some funny roles. I've seen him recently play a cop in Only Murders in the Building. He's in a lot of stuff and very funny. I like this actor. And he starts telling Maximus off. And Maximus is like, "You're a dick. I'm going to let you die," basically. And he takes the power armor. What'd you think of this scene? Any other notes on the bear scene or this interaction?
I mean, once again, I'm really curious where they're taking this Maximus guy. He seems a little cold-hearted, and he has this idea of what the Brotherhood of Steel should be, and so he basically in his mind deemed that this guy didn't have what it took, and so he allowed him to die, which is kind of weird. And so it's an interesting take. I'm not sure. I still don't like this character, and that might be intentional. And so I'm really curious to see what they decide to do with it. So
this is a good time to talk about it. I think, after thinking about it a lot, that his character's on point in the sense of the good person, Lucy, is brought up that way. She wants to stick to some type of moral compass. This guy has been brought up in the real world. He's from shit, and he's in this, like, you have to be tough as nails to survive organization on top of it. And he's not going to be a good person. He's just, it's not in the cards for him, and he does some questionable things. It's like, oh, should he be the better person and just give him the healing item to, like, save his knight? He probably, should, you would think, but he's just not a clean-cut character. Like, he's complicated, and I think that complication... what happens with Maximus is what's driving my interest in the show the most. That's what I want to see. I'm interested. I'm unsettled by it. I don't feel good about it. And I'm like, should I be cheering for him? Like, what's the deal here? Like, I like that there's a love interest now type thing between him and Lucy. I'm a sucker for that. But should there be? Should I be like, hey, he's bad news? Yeah. Like, this is the most interesting part to me. So
I think it's going to become so like cookie cutter though. I'm afraid that it's going to happen this way where the innocent girl who doesn't want to kill and just wants to find her father is going to teach the hardened orphan that murder and killing is not the way, but we need to love others and give and show mercy, and then his heart will be softened and he will become a better person. I really hope that's not what happens. Whoa. But
okay,
I wonder if that's what's going to happen.
There's your predictions there. Maximus puts on the power armor and starts testing out the strength, throwing rocks and destroying things. He interestingly has a Tony Stark Iron Man view of the inside is what we get, which makes total sense, but I'll just say it was interesting. He comes up and saves the day, saving one wastelander from another, and turns out he may have made a bad move because he was fucking the guy's chickens.
Sure was.
I thought this was like weirdly hilarious. What did you think?
Oh yeah.
Any thoughts?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I thought it was going to be something darker, yeah. And so the fact that it was chickens, I kind of saw it coming when he like separated them. That clearly he like misread the whole thing. But the fact that it was a guy having sex with chickens was hilarious and just really caught me off guard.
Lucy meets a wastelander and a tattered. I guess he's really dumb. He's trying to put sand in a water purifier. He asks her to stay with him, but just she quickly moves on, excuses herself after giving up her precious water to him in her naivete, as you say, comes up to the city of Philly, I think it was called, if I remember correctly.
Yep, Filly.
We get our first look at, like, how are people going to look in the world, because we see them in the games, but we have a bunch of survivors, a bunch of wastelanders, and there's all sorts. You see some like people who like have like a raider type helmet type thing. You have just random old people who are like grizzled and they don't want to talk to her. Hey, we're just surviving, you know, stuff like that. The whole town looks great, as we talked about. And just so happens, everybody meets up here, which I thought was a little weird, but whatever. I mean, it's a wasteland. There's not much left standing, so there's going to be only a few landmarks, I guess. But we have Lucy, we have the doctor scientist person, we have the shopkeeper, and long story short, it all goes down because they all have their different motivations for, hey, I need that doctor for the bounty, I need that doctor to save my dad, like, I you know, I'm going to save this guy. Like, it's just conflict. And then we have, I think, the standout scene of, aside from the gunfight, you have Lucy just saying, hey, I am deciding to stick up to you, and I will use force if everyone in the vicinity agrees that now it's justified. And I just thought this was a little bit over the top, but also really cute, and I like that about Lucy. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this whole episode is just about her kind of like awkwardly being thrusted into a lot of these situations and being socially awkward and not knowing how to really respond. And so I think the actress who plays her does a great job of not being obnoxious or annoying, but like cute and innocent, and you can't help but want to root for her, which is like really hard. Like, if you had to sit down and make a Fallout show, like, what kind of main character would you pick? Like, this is not what I would have chosen, but I think it works really well. And so it's really cool, and I like it, and it hasn't rubbed me the wrong way yet. Maybe it'll eventually get annoying where it's like, all right, girl, come on, you got to start like figuring things out. But for now, like, I think it works really well.
100%. I totally agree. That's a really good point. Now, in the aftermath of this battle, something important happens I needed to ask you about. The dog goes and attacks the ghoul, and the ghoul stabs it, and later, after the dust settles, decides to go back to the dog, sees him, and take mercy on him, and basically gives him a stim pack to bring the dog back, and now it's him and the dog are buddies. What was your take on all that?
Well, I hated the dog getting stabbed. Wasn't a big fan of that. But happy to see, obviously, they brought the dog back, and now they're buddies. And so maybe they just needed to have a mutual understanding of each other. I don't know. It didn't bother me at all. I'm glad they didn't kill the dog off. Seemed would have been really quick.
Yelped. I was like, no. The scientist doctor guy treated this dog so well, so he obviously protects him, but then, I mean, just me, I don't care if you're a human or an animal, somebody just stabs you and then they like, okay, then they gave me like medicine to bounce back, I would still be pissed. So I don't know, you know.
Dogs don't do that, man.
Oh, they would.
You can hit your dog and a minute later they're like, hey, we're cool. No problem.
Yeah, you would never hit your dog though. Not you. I know you're.
No, of course not. But dogs don't care, man. They forgive humans. True. We don't deserve them.
Yeah. The last thing about this, which drives the plot forward, is you have the shopkeeper lady say, oh, actually, my motivation is I was hired to get this doctor guy to the Moldover person lady who stole your dad. To me, makes no sense. But maybe it'll get cleared up later. Anyway, so she's like, okay, I'll take him with his, like, missing foot and prosthetic, and they go across the wasteland, and then he lays down the very odd scene where he says, okay, well, I'm not gonna make it, I'm too heavy, I'm too slow, whatever. And by the way, I just actually took a cyanide pill that you have no choice, so I took the option D, and this banana pill is gonna kill me. Chop off my head and take it with you. And she mulls it over, is a little, I thought she'd be a little more distraught. She has these moments where it's like, I thought she would be a little more hesitant, but pretty quick she's like, okie dokie, and just like goes for it. And I think it works just enough. It was on the edge, but it's like, what is she willing to do? Like, she's strong in certain ways, stronger than people give her credit for, but also naive. And then she's surprised by everything and has no experience, yet I'm impressed that she apparently starts to cut this guy's head off. What did you think about that wrap up and that scene, the last scene?
It was fine. I actually really liked the okie dokie part. my wife and I both kind of laughed at it. It's kind of like her trademark at this point. But it's a little rushed and forced, but it worked all right. I think for me, the and you already mentioned this, the fact that they brought all the character arcs together already felt really rushed. Like, usually when shows have multiple storylines going on, they'll spend all 8 or 10 episodes, and then usually, like, the season ends with them kind of, like, getting together. So the fact that these guys are already, like, rubbing shoulders episode 2 is a little quick and a little forced. I assume they're probably going to spread them out maybe a little bit now and not have them give them some time apart maybe. I don't know. But that was the only thing with the pacing of this that I thought was a little odd, so...
We got a good look at a Ripper Viral Blade thing, the tool that he just whips out to give her to cut off his head, and it looks true to the game. It does. Sound effects, again, better than expected. Visually, looks a little fake, but I just wanted to note that since it stood out to me. But very good. Very good overall. Look! Duh, what do we want to see in future episodes? If we're lucky, what's going to happen? My main one I already kind of mentioned. What's going on with Maximus? Am I supposed to care about this character? Is he good? Is he bad? Or are things just in the wasteland not that clear cut? And that's kind of what the show's about. But he's most interesting character to me by far. And what happens with him is just, I'm interested. I'm invested in what's going to happen. With Maximus. How about you? Any predictions or anything that you want to see going forward?
Yeah. One thing we learned at the very end of the episode is that the doctor knows that girl's name, and we don't know why, Lucy's name. And so that was interesting. I think there's some history there. I think there's some reasons with her father and maybe a role he plays and why this bad lady wants this tic-tac in this dude's head. I think there's all a bunch of stuff going on there. Obviously, we're going to find out about things I'd like to see. A Deathclaw. I would love to see one of those. I can't remember if they're in the trailer or not, but wouldn't surprise me if they show up at some point. I thought they were going to show up in this episode and ended up being the bear instead, which is fine. So I'm sure we'll work our way up to that. And then I just want to see more of the ghoul and his backstory. I'm curious. He seems like he's like a Western movie star. And has a kid. What happened to his kid? Like, I'm sure they're going to hit us with that. And it's going to be a tear fest. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready for Walton Goggins to act his face off. No pun intended.
Absolutely. I agree with you on all of that. I want to see more. I think that the ghoul needs more screen time in general. Because he was so good in the time that he was there. And he's another, like, question mark. It makes me a little upset when characters, like, don't get into things and ask the proper questions that you as a viewer have. So I'm like, Lucy, like, demand that this guy that you're, like, going across the wasteland with tells you what his name is and what he's about. She's like, I don't even know who you are. And I was like, you know what? That's right. Like, you guys haven't had any time to talk about this. Like, I know he's huffing and puffing through the wasteland. It's probably not the best time, but you know, it's for a reason. Storytelling wise, it's like, here's what we want the audience to know, here's what we want to keep secret. But it gets frustrating to me at a certain point. Certain shows do it too much, and it's like, okay, now, you know, give me a little something here instead of like just piling on the layers of mystery. We're not there yet at frustration levels, but I was like, okay, you got through the whole thing. Now he's already dead and you have not, didn't know anything about him and didn't know why he knew about you. So it's like, okay, fine. Final rating, episode 2, our rating on a 5-star scale. Half stars are allowed. I want Clay to go first on this one since I went first for episode 1. What'd you think? Episode 2.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one, but I did think that it had a lot of good parts in it that still make it a great episode. I think that they're exploring some fun things, and obviously I watched them kind of back to back, so they kind of just go together in my mind. Like, it just feels like one big long episode. Like, there was at one point I couldn't remember, like, rewatching episode one, I was like, when does this episode end again? Like, I was having a hard time remembering. That being said, I still think episode one was just a little bit better. So, still enjoyable, good episode. I'll give it a 3 out of 5.
I want to completely agree with you, and I was about to give it a 3 out of 5. I was about to give it a 3, actually, in the sense that it was just under what the first one was. But it had great character moments. We saw a lot of cool Fallout stuff. And I think that the fact that they used the environmental storytelling in the beginning with the Lucy coming in on that family and it just setting such a great tone elevated it. And what brings it up a full half star for me was the music. It was banging. It can't be understated. It must have been 5 songs at least that were like used and used to great effect. And the music just makes it so Fallout to me. Like, again, same style in episode one, but episode two had the hits from the games, which brings it back up from a 3 to 3.5. So we're going to go 3.5 again for me for episode two. And I feel like I'm being a little stingy, just like I am with the first one. But I want to leave room because I feel like it's not right at 4-star yet for me. So that's where I sit.
All right.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody, for Fallout Fans, the mini podcast, where we discuss all things Fallout, especially right now, the Fallout live action TV series. Please leave your 5-star rating and what you thought about episode 2 in the YouTube comments below. For all of those watching, for all of those listening, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Episodes for this show are releasing on the Monday and the Thursday, or the Tuesday and the Thursday of the week. But stay tuned right here at Megadads for all of the latest. Keep joining us as we discuss the show, and I'm very surprised if things don't take a turn right up to the 4 or 5-star level, because I feel like we're almost there. I feel like it's gonna happen. It's great. We'll see you next time in the Wasteland.